little 6 o'clock, so we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm gonna make sure everyone can hear me. I want to welcome you all and thank you for joining us for the first neighborhood meeting regarding a private property owner's request for a grading exception and associated site design to allow a 41-lot residential subdivision on the northwest corner of El Conquistador and Oracle Road. Along with you folks joining us in person, we have about 11 people joining us online. So my name is Melini Sims, and I'm a principal planner with the town of Oro Valley. I am also the lead planning reviewer, should the applicant move forward, and the facilitator for tonight's meeting. So as the facilitator, I am neutral, and my primary goal is to make sure that all your voices are heard in this process. Now to do so, I do need your help. So what was handed out when you came in and what's listed on the screen behind me and shared with the folks at home is a list of ground rules. And the key takeaway is that everyone treats each other with respect. And also, I ask that even if you agree with somebody, to refrain from clapping or also interrupting as other people are speaking, because this is disruptive to the conversation. And ultimately, I hope we have a shared goal of having a civil and productive evening tonight. Right. Now, just some light ground housekeeping items is we are scheduled to go to 7:30 this evening. And if it is your first time at Town Hall, there are restrooms as well as a drinking fountain just out the door. I also ask that if you haven't yet, you please silence your cell phone. Now, this is for all those joining us online. Everyone's mic is muted, and I will give instructions on how you'll participate online a little bit later in the evening. However, if at any time this evening you have trouble with Zoom, please contact Michael Spaeth, Principal Planner, at 520-229-4812. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you received a yellow postcard inviting you to the meeting? All right, most of you did. Great. So if you didn't receive a postcard and you haven't yet, please make sure you sign in at the front desk or the front table, excuse me, before you leave tonight. That way we can add you to the notification area. Now, I also, if you're online and you haven't, and you didn't receive a postcard, you can always email ask@orovalleyaz.gov with your name and address so we can also add you to the notification list. Now, I also want to encourage everyone to visit ovprojects.com. There is a web page dedicated to this project on there. It includes right now an informational video, which will be covering some of the aspects of tonight. But also, we'll continue to update that page as this moves through the review process. So speaking of the process, we are very early in it. In fact, the town has not even received a formal application yet. We require applicants to have a neighborhood meeting at the front end of the process because it is important to hear not only your questions, but also your comments and possible ideas for design solutions to mitigate some of your concerns. The neighborhood meeting process is the best time for residents to effectuate change. Your feedback ultimately helps shape the proposal that will be considered by town council. Now, after this meeting, we do anticipate that the applicant will submit a formal application. And once the neighborhood meeting process is complete, their request does require consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as Town Council. Both of those are public hearings, so you will be invited to attend those and speak as well. Now, it is important to establish, again, that this is a proposal to develop private property. Therefore, it is the private property owner's responsibility to create, justify, and seek town council approval. All private property owners have the right to request review of their development proposal, whereas the town, it's our responsibility to provide due process. So for tonight's agenda, I'm first going to provide some background information about the property and the zoning requirements applicable to the site. I'm then going to ask Mr. Craig Hunt, who is representing the private property owner, to really provide the details of their proposal. And then lastly, and most importantly, is we want to hear from you. and gather your feedback. Now, I do ask that you hold your questions until after the presentations are done tonight, because some of your questions may be addressed in those. So first, I just want to orient everyone to where the property is. It is located, again, on the northwest corner of El Conquistador and Oracle. It's outlined in blue on the screen. So by a show of hands, how many of you live in the townhomes or any of the houses just west of the property? I assume almost all of you. Okay, great. So you're very familiar with the property. I'm not going to take too long on that then. So one thing, though, and just for context and comparison, is what's shown on the screen is the density and average lot sizes of some of the surrounding developments. So to the east where the townhomes are and even south or west, excuse me, to the west where the townhomes are and even southwest, the average density of those developments range from 6 to 7 units per acre. Now the applicant is proposing a similar density of having 5 units per acre. The average lot size of the townhomes is between 3,600 and 4,500 square feet is the average lot size of those. And again, the applicant is proposing something similar with a 4,000 square foot average lot size, roughly. Now, their requests, and there are two separate yet related requests for the proposed design. And both of these requests must be approved for the design to move forward. So the first one is a grading exception. Now this is an ask to town council to allow more cut or fill than our code currently allows. And the reason for this is really focused on the areas in the south portion of the property. It's kind of outlined in purple on the screen with a dashed line. So this is to allow targeted cut or fills greater than the code allows. And the reason they're proposing this is to create a suitable area for the lots on that southern portion. Again, if you're familiar of the site, you do know there's a lot of erosion on some of those sloped areas. So they is to try to stabilize it so they can have lots on there. Now, the second request is related to the first, and it's the associated site design. And right now, the applicant is proposing 41 lots with detached single-family homes. Now, they are proposing the homes to be both 1 and 2 story. The single-story homes are shown, or lots with single-story homes, excuse me, are shown with a star on the screen. And there are 2 access points proposed, one from El Conquistador Way and the other from Valle de Oro. There's also a central recreation area shown in darker green. And again, the applicant is here to give more details on their proposal. Just some history on this property. It was a part of the original incorporation of the town back in 1974, and it also has had RCIC zoning ever since. RCIC zoning is the town's multifamily zoning district. So it actually allows the full breadth of housing types. It allows detached homes, like the applicant is proposing, but it also allows townhomes, like the homes next door, as well as the larger apartment complex. Now, some notable development standards are the building height allowed is 25 feet or 2 stories. However, this can be reduced by town council to 18 feet or single story for buildings that are within 50 feet of the R4 district. So just to explain that a little bit more, that's 50 feet from where the brown shading ends into the development, could be reduced to single story. The setbacks are 30 feet from Oracle Road and then 20 feet from the residential to the west. All right, so as many of you probably know, the site has some interesting topography. There is a hill right along El Conquistador Way and also along Oracle Road, but once you get into the site, it flattens out because it has been previously disturbed, and this disturbance happened before it was even incorporated into the town, so before 1974. So the first request, that grading exception, again, is to allow them to remove or add more than 8 feet of dirt. And it's specific to the southern area outlined in purple. And the hillsides that are 25% or more are shown in pink on the screen. Now, the code does establish a criteria for these type of asks. They're known as grading exceptions. And the focus of this criteria is that the amount they're requesting to remove or add over the code requirements still is meeting the intent of our grading section. So it really is focusing that their ask is targeted. So it's specific areas and the minimum they need to create the suitable development area. It is also looking at the impacts to adjacent properties, so the scarring and the mitigation measures in place to reduce visibility of the cut and fills. And then the associated site design, it's reviewed for conformance with the zoning codes, specifically those R6 development standards that I went through previously, but also the town has design principles and standards, which looks at how the site is laid out in terms of lot configuration and circulation. And this property is also within the Oracle Road Scenic Corridor overlay. It's known as ORSCOD. And so what ORSCOD is, it adds additional requirements to protect the views from the scenic corridor. So for this property, specifically what's applicable is that all buildings within 100 feet of Oracle Road have to be single story, and also healthy vegetation along Oracle Road has to be preserved in place to add additional screening. And then also as part of our review of a site plan, we do look at drainage as well as traffic. And with that, I would like to ask Mr. Craig Hunt to please walk us through their proposal. Use this, and we just want to make sure you stand close to the mic.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. Nice to see the turnout and the interest. I did bring a presentation board. It might not be as much use to us as long as we have the screens going, but perhaps afterwards, some individual questions. I was just saying that the presentation board that I brought might not be of tremendous use right now while the screens are in use, but after we're all done and if any of you have individual questions, it could be good to refer to at the end. One of the slides in the PowerPoint will be this very, very board here. Well, I just want to thank you, Malini, for a very thorough presentation. Much of the points that I would cover, you've already covered, so I won't. I'll try to skip around. Those of you that may have seen, we had a presentation video link up on the website, and some of you may have viewed that. I'm going to use the same outline that I did for that, so it may sound a little repetitive to you, but let's just go for it. So my name is Craig Hunt. I'm a civil engineer and a senior project manager in land development at Bowman Consulting, and I'm here tonight to represent AMH Development. And they're proposing to develop the project as shown on this board and what Malini has presented. Why don't you go ahead and forward to that first slide. Okay. Okay, what I'd like to do is, give an introduction to the project first, and then we have some additional materials that were not on the website, including some samples of the architectural styles of several models of homes that are proposed. We have some line of sight exhibits where we look at different spots, particularly along the west side and then along the wash, and looking east towards the mountains. And then we also have some photos that were taken, both from Markle Road and from the west side of the property, so that we can all have a common reference point on what the views look like today and how those might be impacted or preserved. So there is that site plan, sir. We'll be referring to different elements of that. Okay, so as Melini explained, we're proposing to develop single-family detached homes. The yellow areas show 41 lots arrayed on either side of access roads. Primary access is proposed to come from El Conquistador Way, with secondary access from Valle del Oro Road. We do anticipate the majority of site traffic will utilize El Conquistador. The R6 zoning, again, as Melini explained, does allow higher density developments of townhomes and apartment complexes. So the single-family detached homes would be the lowest density and the least impact to adjacent homeowners. This site has remained undeveloped for quite a number of years for some of the unique grading features, steep slopes, and the changes in elevation, particularly that south end. That southwest corner where you see lots 20 through 23 is quite low. It's about 10 feet below the adjacent roadways. And then that hill structure along El Conquistador Way is as much as 20 feet above the roadway. So that's a good 30 foot of change over that south edge of the property. And really to promote safe access and to make that portion of the lot developable, we plan to bring that hill down and bring that hole up and just try to even it out a little bit. Again, I don't want to repeat too much of what Melini's already shared, so I'm just kind of scanning through here. So again, the yellow represents the lots, the dark green area, the recreation area centrally located in the eastern half of the site. We anticipate connecting that with some trail elements within that. The lighter green shaded areas would be open space, drainage, landscape buffer yards around the edges. But yeah, we anticipate we can create a nice little walking path there for residents. The Mutterer Wash is shown in blue, and it is quite a bit lower than the site as well. There's as much as 20 feet of slopes above the drainage way. A lot of erosion, a lot of sediment being deposited down there, needs to be cleaned up. Part of what we intend to do is to stabilize those slopes. In civil engineering parlance, we call that armoring. The idea is to make them more resilient so that we don't keep getting those sediments eroding off the back. That's going to be obviously a benefit to these residents in these home sites, so that the backs of their lots are not eroding away, but also will reduce the maintenance needs in that wash. The adjacent HOAs are primarily responsible for that task. I did talk with some staff here at the town, and we can talk about that issue a little bit more later. But it is an ongoing concern. Needs to be cleaned up from time to time. Again, just to restate, we're proposing one- and two-story homes. And Melini pointed out those lots with the stars. And on this exhibit, they're marked with an S for single-story. Those are the ones that are required to be single-story. Those are the ones that are required. There may be others that we elect to make single story, but the ones shown with the S's are the required ones. I anticipated there'd be a lot of discussion tonight about view sheds. In the video presentation, we addressed it, and I'll talk a little bit about that again. So as part of the ORSCOD requirements, we do have to look at the view sheds through the site. So I took a number of pictures, walked the site, identified, you know, most of those lots to the west are depressed quite a bit from this site. And then, of course, you've got that tall hill structure along Oracle Road. So views are limited. But there are a few spots, as I walked through, that, yeah, you can look through. There's a break in the trees, or the elevation differences are not as great. So we want to definitely try to preserve those views. One of the spots was at the north end in between lots 7 and 8. You kind of see that green area, a break. But anybody who's going to use that pool there at the Oro Valley townhouses could look out presently and have a decent view. And so we want to try to retain that by putting that gap there. The homes along the north side would be set back from the roadway. And then the roadway itself is obviously nothing impeding the view there. So that'll help to keep that view intact. And then at the southern end, those few houses on the west side of Valle del Oro, my goodness, if any of you live in one of those, congratulations, you have excellent views. And we definitely want to maintain those. So lot 20 all the way in the southwest corner has an S, as you can see. That would be a single-story home. And then, again, as I mentioned in the video presentation, we don't want to simply put homes on top of that 20-foot hill on the east end of Conquistador. So we're going to bring that down, get those homes down closer to the elevation of the roadway. I think that covers the formal presentation component. Got some other slides here that we can take a look at. So the next item on the agenda would be just to have a look at some of the homes that are proposed. Our client, I believe, is proposing between 6 and 8 different model homes, each of which, and all the ones that I'll show you tonight, are two-story models. I did not have photographs like this for the single-story model. But there are 6 to 8 different models, each having at least 4 different architectural styles. So each group of 4 is a different model home, slightly different interior floor plans. But you can see some variation in color, architectural treatments. That'll give some nice variety throughout the community. Obviously, there are going to be some similarities in terms of the width of the product to fit on the lots and so forth, but there's some nice variation. Next, let's take a look at some of the line of sight exhibits. First is a plan view of the area. So we've got 4 different sections we want to take a look at. Section A at the north end is just a little bit north of that roadway and that drainage break, right? So I did that so that we can actually do a cut through the homes, see what that would look like. But please keep in mind that immediately south of that view will be unimpeded. So we'll just kind of cycle through these. First one on the top there, section A. So basically the profile is starting on the west end, and as it's as if we're looking to the north. That's what these views will show. So we've got a little person with the eyeball at about 5 feet off the ground, and this is what he would see. In all cases, and this will be evident by the photos we'll look at shortly, I took those photos from ground level immediately behind the walls of those townhome lots. So you can see the wash is that depression immediately, just a little bit inside from that left side. And then what we're seeing is lots 1 through 7. The two required single story homes shown on the east edge of that, and then Oracle Road on the right. I'll point out that hill structure we've been talking about, as you are well aware, it does taper out as you go to the north, so you can see that in the existing ground profile. It's really not perceptible at the north end here. Section B is taken close to the midpoint of the site. Lot 74 of... which one is that? Valle del Oro townhouses, lot 74, and it cuts through our proposed lots 11 and 36, again, looking to the north. So that's the section on the bottom half of the screen. Orientation of the homes run east-west, so you're seeing the sides of those homes and the street in between them. Sections C and D. C is a little bit further south. And then section D is at the extreme southern end, so let's just take a peek at those. Again, section C, very similar to section B. See the wash on the west, two homes, street in between, common area to the right. Section D looks different for us. We have Valle del Oro Road on the west side there, and the four lots in that southwest corner. The wash is actually ascending up towards the road. You've got a couple of culverts under the road, so it's at a higher elevation, not as easily seen here. But the elevation mark of 2574, that represents where the wash is in this profile. And then a little bit further east, you can see the existing ground profile quite a bit higher, right? So we talked about bringing that down, getting these lots at an elevation closer to the roadways. So that's what you're seeing. And then on the east end, we would imagine, envision a retaining wall and then catching that slope up to the existing ground. And lastly, we'll take a look at some of these photos around the site. All the initial photos, first 10, were from the east side of Oracle Road. That's part of the requirement of the regulations. Not going to be much surprises there. We'll go through these rather quickly. Mostly you see that retaining wall in the top of the hill structure. And you can see how that's tapering as we go further north. And then on the right side of your screen is the first photograph taken from the west side. I'll just run back and let you look at that once more. So photos 11 through 19 are basically on the west side of the wash, looking east. And then the last few photos, 21, 22, are from the west side of Valle del Oro Road. So let's cycle through what we're seeing here. Photo 11 on the right half of the screen, you see that power pole. That was a reference point for me. That power pole is just north of the property boundary. It serves the senior living facility there. So that oriented me where I was. You can see we're depressed. We've got some heavy vegetation there. Mountains peak out a little bit at the top, but... next, photo 12, there was a break in the vegetation, so I just took that shot. And then photo 13, lower left, that is from the community pool area there. And that's the view that we're trying to maintain. 14, 15, we're walking a little bit further south. You can see upper right, the bottom of the photo there is a little inlet, lateral drainage way joining the wash there. And then photo 15, again, down pretty low, not seeing much from that point of view. 16, 17, we're getting to the south end of the property, and the ground is ascending, and you can notice that. Views are improving for sure, but you can still appreciate the depth of from the site down to the wash at this point. Lower left photo is taken from the end of that street there. You can see the bollard at the end of the street, but that's quite a nice view. 18, just a little bit further south from that. 19, you can see the wash is a concrete bottom and is ascending, like I said, up towards Conquistador Way. But still, the slopes, banks of the wash in the foreground, not seeing a lot from down there. And then these last photos, as I said, from the west side of Valle del Oro. My goodness, that's why y'all live in this area, right? To get that view, right? So again, trying to keep that first lot be a single story, and then the ones that would be in the distance closer to Oracle Road, didn't want to put them on top of that hill and bring that down so that these views can be maintained. And that's the end of my presentation, so I'll turn it back over to you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hunt. So again, now we want to turn over the evening to you, and we want to hear your feedback as well as any ideas you have applicable to the design to mitigate some of your concerns. Because again, the neighborhood meeting process is the best time to effectuate change. All right. So my goal is to definitely get through as many of you as possible. To do so, I'm going to toggle back and forth between those in person and those online. So just some quick directions for those online on how to participate. You'll need to raise your virtual hand. That should look like the symbol shown on the screen. And or if you are on a phone, you will need to press star 9. Now, all raised hands are ordered in the way that they are received. Now, when we call on your name, you will be asked to unmute yourself. Please make sure you're also unmuted on your device, and then you could ask your question or comment, and then you will be remuted for the speaker to respond. For all of those of you in person, you can just raise your physical hand, and when you raise your hand, Mr. Kyle Packer will walk over to you with a microphone, so you can also ask your question or comment. I do ask that you wait for the microphone because this is the only way that those online can hear us. Now, you will notice that Mr. David Laws will be taking down some minutes on your questions and comments. These will be transcribed into a neighborhood meeting summary, and the summary will be posted on ovprojects.com as well as a recording of tonight's meeting. And so with that, if you have a question, please raise your hand. All right, if we can start with the gentleman in the front.
Thanks. On your diagram.
Actually, can we go back?
S20, what is it? Those between the where the road comes down. I've got a two phase question. One, how is that road intended to just meet with El Conquistador Road, not go up or down, but meet with it? At its current level, it's going to meet with it?
Well, it has to.
Okay. Then how far in are you going to take that hill down to make it meet with it?
We've done some preliminary engineering, looked at some profiles there. The challenge is that not only does that hill come up so quickly, but then once we get to about here, the slopes dive down just as quickly.
Exactly.
So, what we anticipate doing is starting from the existing edge of pavement, come up a little bit, maybe a couple feet, 3 feet. That does a couple things. Keeps drainage from the roadway from rushing into the site. But also, we have to come down again so quickly. So most of that hill will be brought down except for about 3 feet or so. And then we have to kind of dive down to that lower plateau of the site.
Okay. And, oops, sorry. Go ahead.
And then how, on that lot 27, how far over are you going to go to take the rest of that hill down?
Lot 27, a couple things going on. So we've got that 100-foot setback that Melini mentioned. And so that's pretty much at the backs of these lots. We're anticipating that we'll put a vertical retaining wall there and then try to minimize the disturbance. But we'll catch that existing grade as soon as we can. So vertical and then slope up to catch it.
All right. Now if we can go over to the gentleman in the suit jacket, and then we'll come to you, sir, in the red. And then back to you, sir.
My name is Albert Lassen. I'm from the Oro Valley Townhomes. Can I have the mic, please?
I'll be holding on to it.
You will? Okay, you're going to follow me then. My first question is, who is AMH? Where are they from, and what have they built in the area?
Okay, I can answer that. If any of you were to Google AMH, you would immediately see a connection to American Homes for Rent. They are a builder of single-family homes, and their business plan is to rent out those homes for a period of time and eventually sell them. But they do have a national focus. Honestly, I'm not sure.
From? Where are they from?
Good question. I've seen a few addresses. I don't know that I've got the headquarters
address. They're not from Tucson or Arizona.
They have offices in Phoenix and in Tucson. I'm not sure where their headquarters.
And so what have they built in the area? What can we go look at to see as an example?
Unfortunately, I don't have an answer for you there. I know there's several projects in the works, but this is a...
Tell me a project in the
Sir,
works.
If we could let him please respond first.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There is a project down off of Houghton and Valencia. It's a large planned area development. I think the first phase is about 200, 220 homes.
And what's the state of development there?
It's in design. They're hoping
Sir, again, please let them answer one question at a time. Thank you.
It's in design. They're hoping to break ground in the next number of weeks or a month or so.
Nothing here built.
I don't know, and I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
So my next question is, I'm talking about Mutterer's Wash. Are you proposing to be responsible for Mutterer's Wash all the way to Greenock?
No, sir. The responsibility to maintain Mutterer's Wash resides with the homeowners associations adjacent to it. I mentioned that I talked with town staff, drainage engineer. He explained to me that because of the erosion and the sediments that are being deposited in there, it gets carried downstream. It affects culverts underneath Greenock Drive, and the town is cleaning that out every year or two because it builds up in that time frame.
And sir, if you could do one more question, then we're going to move on,
but I'm going to come back.
I'm
going to make a statement,
okay.
And you're going to let me do it. Walk up here with me.
No, sir, if you could just talk in the mic.
I want to point to that open space there.
Sure.
And I want to say that this proposal takes a piece of land, 9 acres of land, that's been vacant forever and absorbs rainwater and puts in several hundred thousand square feet of rooftop and roadway, and most of it is going to drain right there. That open space that you say is for my pool, I don't buy that at all. That open space is where you're going to drain your subdivision into Mudder's Wash. And via Oro Valley Townhomes has already flooded once from Mudder's Wash. It nearly flooded last year, and I can tell you, you're going to flood Mudder's Wash. And are you saying that my homeowners association is going to be responsible for digging out Mudder's Wash and engineering it to take your water?
No, sir. I'm not saying that.
Who is responsible?
Let me address the several points you made one at a time. Obviously, when vacant native land is developed, yes, you're adding rooftops, you're adding asphalt streets. That will increase the volume of runoff. What's typically done in those cases is we'll have a retention basin to aggregate and build up a volume of water before it's released so that we're not increasing the peak flow beyond what it is currently. This site is unique in that it's immediately adjacent to that wash. There's another consideration here. When it rains, as you know, you might get a flash flood warning. Beware, it's coming, right? Same kind of thing. There's a lag. There's a delay. It might be raining in the mountains. That water is accumulating as it travels, but there's a lag before it gets downstream. Because this site is immediately adjacent to that wash, it's actually better to let that water enter the wash, not slow it down. If you slow it down and hold on to it, you're just giving time for all the other raindrops to gather together from a half a mile away and get to this site. So it's best to release it. We would release it in a responsible fashion. You're correct that break serves two purposes. That is a low point in the site where the drainage will collect. We'll release it through there. It does help the view shed. We would release it in a responsible manner. As I said, we intend to stabilize the banks of the wash, and we would armor that. And if the aggregated drainage flows are at a level that, you know, we would put in the proper armoring and stabilization of the slope as those waters are released from the site.
All right,
no
sir.
Sir. Beyond
I'll address that point as well.
Sir, we'll be able to come back to you later, but we're going to be able to take a moment to answer everyone's questions tonight.
He's not doing a good job of answering, but please.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Hopp.
The Mudder's Wash was created by the Platts for the townhome developments to the west. The responsibility to maintain it rests with those HOAs per the final plat and the legalities of it. As I mentioned before, the town drainage engineer explained to me the maintenance that the town is doing. He also said that about every 5 years, they'll come up the full length of the wash and take out more of those sediments. Normally, they wait for those sediments to get carried downstream, clean them out at Greenock Drive. But about every 5 years, he said, they'll come up and do a more thorough job of that. He said the town does not want to overly burden the HOAs with that kind of a cleanup effort. He also explained that the HOAs are currently, you know, monitoring those, doing some clearing of vegetation and removal of debris and that kind of thing. But it would actually be, he also said that the HOAs have approached the town and would like the town to take over the full maintenance of the wash. I believe that the town is open to that, but only after the slopes from this site are stabilized. But that would be an opportunity for the HOAs to relieve themselves of that burden physically and legally, and maybe something that could be discussed to grant a parcel to the town, and they would officially take on that responsibility. But he did make it clear that they would want to see these slopes stabilized before the town would consider that.
Okay, thank you. And now to the gentleman in red.
Great, thanks. I'm going to stand up, okay?
Sounds good.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time to meet with us tonight. My name is Bill Groth. I'm the vice president of Valle del Oro Townhomes. And I've got a couple of questions. I know there are some other members of the board here. They may have some other questions as well. My first concern is the roadway that extends over the wash area. Is that going to be bridged? Is it going to be culverted? How are you going to get the roadway over that wash? And what kind of clearance will you allow for proper flows to run through there?
Sure. Good question. Two options. As shown, we show the blue line in between the roadway and our proposed roadway. First option would be to just put culverts under the roadway we propose. Of course, they would be of adequate size to carry the flow. Second option would be to actually fill in that little piece between our proposed road and Conquistador. That would be an extension of existing culverts through that space. So we'll look at both options, see what makes most sense.
So in essence, to follow up, to run it through there underground if you bridged over top of that with earth.
Correct. It would run through extended culverts.
Got it. Okay, thank you. My next concern is I took some aerial photographs of the area in question, and I can see that the washway that's concreted that runs down partway past the Valle del Oro townhomes is relatively wide. It looks relatively representative of what I see on the plot plan. But as it goes further down, it becomes very, very obvious that that washway really reduces in size. It becomes very, very narrow, and I'm concerned about that. We're talking about, as has previously been mentioned, a lot of additional water runoff. What are your plans as far as the width of that washway as it goes down past our neighbors at the Oro Valley townhomes and on out towards Greenock Drive?
Yeah, short answer is it is what it is. Well, we don't own the land further downstream, so we can't propose any improvements beyond the boundaries of this site.
All right. And one more question, sir, then we're going to go to the next person.
Thank you.
And we will come back to folks if we have time.
So it would appear to me that the land that's going to be developed could have, if the plot was changed slightly, it could have the necessary room to expand that without it overloading the flows on the existing wash right now. Is it possible that your owner would consider expanding that area into their property so that that space became wide enough that everybody was pretty comfortable with the outflow that was there?
And not really understanding the question or what?
Can I show you this photo?
Sure.
So just for everyone's clarification, I think you're asking if it could be, some
right.
of this could be
cut back into here so
the
that
wash.
It remained wider. You can see it becomes very, very narrow through here. This is the Valle del Oro section right here. Mm-hmm. And then the concrete stops and it becomes dirt. And then it really, really trickles down as it gets down through here. My question is, would the landowner consider cutting back into their property space so that that washway could maintain that width right on down right. to Greenock Drive?
So for those online, the question is if the property owner would widen or use some of their property to make the wash wider the whole way through to Greenock. So Mr. Hunt?
It could be considered. One of the requirements placed upon us in the application we make will be to definitely do a drainage study, drainage report. We would have to determine the 100-year flood water surface elevations, show those, how they intersect with the existing banks as they are. You're absolutely correct that that southernmost portion is a concrete bottom. It also had a one-to-one grouted riprap up a couple of feet. And I suspect that that sort of treatment continues further north than we can perceive from the photos due to the buildup of the sediments. What would be the first approach that I would think is we need to know how far that goes and where it ends and likely tie in to that, right? But to the northern extents of this parcel, if that sort of improvement has ended and it's just earthen, we can certainly look at, you know, cutting back on that a little bit as we determine the solution to stabilize those slopes. But beyond the northern boundary, no, we can't do anything about that.
All right, and I think Mr. Laws is going to add to that.
Good evening. My name is David Laws. I'm an engineer for the town of Oro Valley. I didn't speak with Mr. Hunt. He spoke with one of our stormwater engineers. But I just wanted to clarify a couple points. First of all, this is a pre-application. We have not seen a drainage plan. Okay, so if this project moves forward, they will be required to provide us with a drainage plan. We definitely understand, the town understands, the Mudder's Wash is a drainage issue. I mean, we've modeled this, we've studied it, we're studying it right now. There's a FEMA study underway for this area as we speak right now. But I did want to mention, you know, because a lot of questions have come up about maintenance and capacity, things like that. The maintenance of Mudder's Wash falls under a couple different areas. The town maintains a portion of it. Some of the HOAs maintain a portion of it. A project like this could present some opportunities, opportunities for the town to be able to take over the wash in the future, but we can't take it as it currently stands. It's not improved enough for the town to be able to take it on. But with a project like this, as he mentioned, there is a possibility to do that. If they're able to do improvements on their side to the point that we can accept it, then that's a possibility, not only for this section, but for all of it. So I just want to throw that out there as we work through this type of project. Ask the questions. There's possibilities that maybe they could do some things. Also wanted to mention that, you know, this project, because we're talking about stuff downstream, they're only responsible for drainage leaving their property. Our drainage criteria requirements is that they don't impact drainage any worse than it is today. That's what we do. When they submit their drainage plan, that's what we're checking. So, you know, to require or ask them to fix a downstream issue that's already there, that's not necessarily their responsibility. You can ask the question, maybe they take it on, but what we do is we verify when that drainage leaves their property that it's not impacting Mudder's Wash any worse than it is currently. So just want to make sure people understand that. Definitely ask questions. You can certainly press Mr. Hunt on, are you guys willing to do this? The town is here to listen. If there's an opportunity for us to take it on, we will. But anyway, just want to make sure you guys understood that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hunt. We're going to go to this gentleman in white, and then I'm going to take out some online folks, but we'll get back out to both of you.
My name is Dick Toomey. I live in Crooked Stick in Oro Valley Townhomes. Does the developer own the property?
Developer is not the owner.
Of course not. This is just sticking his foot in the water. Okay. Have you done a traffic study to show a potential of 80 cars coming into a very short stretch of road that at best in the morning there'll be 6 or 7 cars there, which would completely block your exit. So my suggestion would be one way going up the hill. Otherwise, you've got a potential of 80 cars coming in and out of that place. So a traffic study should be done.
I agree
just
with
from
you.
The town, yeah. Just so you know, we do require a traffic study.
I know. I asked them if they've done a traffic study.
So, Mr. Hunt, have you guys done the traffic study yet?
As you pointed out, an application has not yet been made. The traffic study has not yet been initiated, but we will be doing one, yes.
Oh, sorry.
If I may, I'll add on the traffic as well. Just a couple of points of clarification so everyone understands. When they make formal application, a traffic study will be required. It'll be reviewed by the town, and it'll be reviewed by ADOT, because Oracle Road is managed and owned by ADOT. That access from Elkhorn to Oracle is just a single road, right? It's there's no turn lanes. So one of the things we'll be looking at is, will this project trigger the need for a dedicated right or a dedicated left? So that'll be studied. They'll have to do the numbers. We'll have to review it, in addition to ADOT. So we'll both do independent reviews. So I just want to make sure you understand that will happen if they make a formal application.
Thank you, Mr. Laws. And do you have one more question, sir?
I just have a comment.
Sure.
When I asked the question, does the developer own the property? Mm-hmm. He does not own the property. So basically what we're doing right now is you're testing the neighborhoods to see what the temperature is. And there are a couple of big problems that stick out. The hardscape runoff of water, and traffic. The views don't look like they're going to be impacted that much. But those two things are really big. As the community just south of us has said, they've flooded out before. So I know the city of Oro Valley will do its best to make sure that the downwater, mm-hmm. downstream people are protected. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be a lot of water dumped in that ditch out there. So, but I, you know, you're doing your job. You're a hired gun for them. Been at this game before. So it just depends on the temperature of the room right now. And there's a lot of questions that have to be asked. And what is the average square foot of each house?
I'm more familiar with the size of the lots.
Okay. Okay, you don't know. One more question. Are these going to be 100% from day one rental units?
That is the business plan of Americans Homes to Rent.
This is going to be rental property.
All right, folks, I just want to remind you, please let them ask the question.
Quiet, folks. This company is basically in the rental business, I believe. That's what you said.
Rental of single-family detached
rental
homes.
Business, yes. Is correct. Their primary business, correct?
Yes. As I
okay, thank you.
All right, we're going to go to the online people. Thank you, sir. And again, we'll come back if we have time. So if we could have Beth Stammer unmuted, please.
So there is a lot of information on AMH development if you Google it, and also the developments that they support, and they tend to be very big, much bigger than what they're proposing here. But the question I have in turn to Oro Valley and also the engineers, what will be put in place to minimize light pollution as well as noise pollution?
Sure. So Mr. Hunt, do you want to answer for what, if you guys know yet, what you'll do for any...
Sure. I mean, these are single-family homes. They're not going to be much different than the townhomes most of you live in. You're going to have porch lights. You're going to have motion sensor lights. But I'm not aware of any street lamp requirements in Oro Valley. So it would just be normal home lighting. I really don't see a big issue with that. Obviously, you've enjoyed the fact that this lot has not been developed for decades. So anything that gets built here, there's going to be more activity. There's going to be some noise. There's going to be children playing in this recreation area. So I think that's a given. But again, it's not like it's a commercial development. The R6 zone would allow for limited commercial development here. We're not proposing that. I think that would be more of a noise impact than just some family homes.
And just... from the town's code, what we don't require, or we don't, they won't have lights along the streets. Now, for the homes, they can have lights on the homes, as probably most of you do, but there is a limitation that they're only up to 9 feet on the wall of the facade of the home, and they are shielded, so therefore they're facing down. They're not flood lamps, if you will.
And then can I ask one more question? So will there be a perimeter wall?
Sure.
So around the neighborhood, and how much access will the neighborhoods have with each other? We get a lot of people walking through the neighborhood all the time because of the walkway. And so I'm concerned a little bit about security as well, actually.
Okay. To answer your question, each of the lots will have screen walls on the lot lines, as would be typical of single family homes. There is not a requirement, nor are we proposing a perimeter wall around the facility. It's not meant to be a gated community or anything like that. So it would just be typical screen walls on each lot.
And if we could have Sally Klibbit unmuted, please.
Our concern, this is David Clement, is that Mudder Wash has already flooded. I have submitted photographs to the town of the September 2014 flood, where the water on Greenock was deep enough to water ski. And there is no way that that amount of water coming in is going to be able to be handled by Mutter Wash. That part of the problem is the elevation of the culvert on Greenock is at the wrong level to permit that water to flow. That's a town or state problem.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Mr. Hunt?
Sure. Again, I'll reiterate something I said before. I understand the concern of increasing the volume of runoff due to rooftops and paved streets. But again, this is a unique situation due to the lag of all the rest of the water in that watershed taking time to get to this point. So again, it's actually a benefit to let the water release. It'll be released in a measured fashion. We're not going to exceed current peak flows leaving the site. But it can be addressed, and the development of this parcel is not going to overwhelm the Wash. Again, you have all that upstream drainage that's going to take some time to get here. We won't be adding to the peak flow that the Wash sees.
I would like to see calculations that prove that.
Absolutely.
The coefficient of runoff is not the same for the finished property as it is for the natural soil. And there's also a detention basin on the other side of El Conquistador Way. How are you handling the water that currently has to go through that into Mutter Wash?
It's absolutely true that the amount of water leaving the site will increase because we're taking away natural dirt that the water infiltrates into presently and replacing that with rooftops and pavement. So we will be demonstrating the calculations that you request within the drainage report that needs to be submitted to the town. With regard to any basin on the south side of El Conquistador Way, that would have been reviewed and addressed by the town as far as capacity and waters released from it. So we don't have any responsibility or quite frankly, interest in what's happening there, because that's already been reviewed and approved by the town.
And I do want to let everybody know that once they formally submit, all their submittals will be posted on ovprojects.com. So the application will be posted there so everybody can have a chance to look at it. And then if we can get Joan F. unmuted, please.
Hi, am I unmuted?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Thank you for allowing me the chance to speak. I appreciate hearing what everybody has said. As noted, this area has been undeveloped for years, and what is called vegetation is actually habitat. I would like to know, I know walls have been proposed and stuff, but is there anything in there to mitigate the effect on wildlife that has lived there for years and possibly wildlife corridors and not getting hit on Oracle Road and everything like that? Is everything just going to be clear cut and all the animals that live there can just, I don't know, be homeless?
Well, I guess that remains to be seen if the town identifies that as an issue. The few times that I've walked the site, I personally have not seen animal life. I'm sure it's there.
Folks,
I'm sure it's there, but...
Folks, please let him respond. Thank you.
Yeah, if that is a concern of the town, then certainly they can ask the developer to do studies of whatever wildlife might be existing on the site presently.
I guess
from the town's
My question was, is there anything... Do you have to work? I understand it's private land, but do you have to work with the town of Oro Valley when there was commercial property built recently along Oracle? They had to leave, for instance, a certain number of trees. is that the case in a development such as this, which is being proposed? It isn't actually a go.
Sure. So I could answer that. So from the town, we do require them to submit what we call a native plant preservation plan, as well as a site resource inventory. So initially, with the first submittal, they will have to identify all the plants on the site and what they propose as treatment. The staff reviews that and to make sure that any, especially significant vegetation, is preserved in place, as well as healthy vegetation. And again, this site is also subject to our Oracle Road Scenic Corridor overlay, which also requires that within 100 feet of Oracle, all healthy vegetation has to be preserved in place.
Can I just ask, is there anything ever, any efforts ever made on behalf of wildlife that have lived there for all these decades? And there is wildlife there, even if it has not been seen. I've seen it. We've all seen it who live in the area.
Sure. So as part of this development, because they are an entitled property and they have the right to develop, we're really focusing on the plant specimens on there, but we do look at, you know, if there's areas for corridors, as you said, like the trail corridors or open space corridors, trying to make sure that there's connectivity between the north and the south as well. So we do look at that connectivity aspect of the design.
Thank you.
All right, and if I can have the last four digits of the phone number, 2023, unmuted. And you may need to press star 6 on your phone to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, great. Thank you. My name's Eric Fowler. My wife and I have a property on Greenock. And everything's been addressed that I was going to ask questions about, but I just have a question more for the town, I guess. You know, if we build in a development, typically, because we've moved around the country and lived in different places, we're responsible for the concentrated flow that we create all the way to the end, not just off our property. That means we have to get it to an approved city drainage area. So I'm a little surprised that they're just responsible for dumping it off their property. And I guess my request to the town would be, you know, what does it take in terms of improvements? If this is a go, ultimately a go and allowed, what is it required? And why wouldn't the town require it to be improved such that the town can take it over? And those of us who maybe know how to water ski but don't necessarily want to do it on our street, how do we ensure that that doesn't happen in the future? And how do we ensure that, you know, we have the improvements necessary for the town to take that over? I would say the same about the traffic flow and making sure that, you know, my bigger concern is safety. You know, because this is going to be a tremendous amount of concentrated flow and a tremendous addition of VRBOs and rentals and other things that, you know, isn't going to be easily regulated in the state of Arizona. So, you know, how are we going to do that without potentially lowering the density here or ensuring that the improvements required to make that happen? And that's more of a question, I think, for the town. Because, you know, I have tremendous concerns, and I think those have been expressed pretty effectively by the rest of the members attending here. So that's really my question and my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Laws, do you want to respond to some of that?
I'll take a stab at it. Okay. I'll start with safety. So, you know, any kind of safety is our number one priority, whether it's for traffic or drainage. I mean, that's why we're here, right? We're here to serve the public. So safety is always top of our list. In regards to traffic, you know, a project like this, you know, it's not like a best guess what we think it's going to be. This is a science. We know for a project like this how traffic is going to be generated. I mean, just look at your own homes, right? You guys leave and live within communities. You know what the traffic is in the morning. A product like this isn't a lot different, honestly. We're not going to have 80 cars leaving in the morning all at the same time. It doesn't happen. So we know how that traffic is going to flow. That'll be studied, and we'll have some pretty good ideas on the impacts to traffic. Will it increase traffic? Of course it will. It's going to add cars to the road. if it meets a certain trigger point, they'll have to mitigate for that. They'll have to widen the roadway for a turn lane, possibly. We don't know that yet because we haven't seen a formal application. The drainage one's a little bit more tricky for this project because the Mudder's Wash doesn't solely lie within one ownership. It's owned by multiple entities, right? We have a portion, the town does. Then we've got a couple HOAs. So, you know, your concern is how do we keep this developer on the hook for making sure there's not an impact downstream beyond their property line? Well, for every project that we review, everything you see in Oro Valley, whether it's a new subdivision, a new commercial center, that's what we do is we verify the impact at the property line. That way we know when it leaves the property, it's in the same fashion that it was before the project was there. How do we know there's not going to be an impact downstream? Because we make sure at the property line, it's the same as what it was before the project was there. I hope that makes sense.
Right.
If it's the same leaving the property, it means that everything downstream from that property is going to be the same. If it's not...
And how do you... And do you do that at various points along the perimeter, I assume? Is that how that's managed?
Sure. Anywhere there's a concentration point leaving the property...
Right.
They're doing a study, a full analysis, telling us what it was before and what it is after. If it is not the same after they construct it, guess what? They got to fix it. We have professional engineers with liability insurance. We have contractors... They're all on the hook to make sure it performs as promised.
All right, thank you. And if we can go to this.
Can I just make one last comment?
Sure.
First of all, I really appreciate that response. My only concern is I don't want it fixed after my house floods. You know, so, and I know that's not your intent, and I don't mean to be a smart aleck in any way. So I know it's hard to convey on the phone, but it's really got to be right to begin with. And if the density is too high to allow it to be right, then that needs to be changed. That's my final comment. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, sir. If we can have this, just one moment. He's coming.
Okay, sure.
This one, and then we'll go over to you, sir.
Hi, thank you. My name is Margaret, and I happen to live on Southern Pines, which is the back of my property is right in front of that roadway that's leading toward Valle del Oro. So I want to ask about that section, and it may have been on the previous slides, but I didn't catch it. What do you expect the elevation to be of those homes? Because that land already is higher than the properties that sit next to it. So if you're talking about filling it even higher, how are you expecting the drainage to be handled in that area and not just flow over the walls into our properties?
And ma'am, just to clarify, is it the lots 20?
Correct. 23? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Hutt.
Yeah, thank you for the question. That southwest corner is challenging. What we see, the elevation is not that much different than the backs of your lots. It may be about 4 feet up from the back of your lot. Mm-hmm. But when you compare it to the roadways, Valle del Oro is climbing pretty quickly, and where it meets Conquistador, and we see that a 10-foot hole compared to those roadways. So yes, it's slightly higher than your lot, but it's quite a bit of a hole compared to the roadways. So a couple things that we looked at with this layout. Obviously, that southwest corner is good usable land. We try to get some lots on there. We looked at, can we make a sewer connection? And then we don't currently have the opportunity with the Oro Valley's code to do a dead-end street like the one you live on. So we have to look at, you know, fire safety issues. We have to look at garbage collection. So either we had to put a cul-de-sac in here to allow those vehicles to turn around, or we thought, you know what, let's just make that connection. We can address the fire safety issues, garbage collection. We determined we can make that sewer connection out there. The reason we proposed it this way rather than putting the lots immediately behind yours is that we are required to put a landscape buffer here, and we can do that and slope it up to help. As we fill in the hole, that'll help us to climb up a bit. But to answer your question about drainage, this roadway will be sloped back towards the wash so that any drainage coming off the lots or the street itself will be directed back to Mutterer's Wash.
Okay, thank you. My question was also, are you changing that elevation? Yeah. It's now 4 feet higher than my property. Is it going to get higher? That's my question. Am I going to look out my fence and see tires going past? Like that's
immediately
what I...
behind your wall, I don't expect to raise it.
Okay.
It will climb up towards the roadway because we're filling that hole. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to raise your wall and make it a really high retaining wall or anything like that. But mm-hmm. but we do need to climb okay. towards the south.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple of other questions. Just for my understanding, how far from Oracle, the corner of Oracle and El Conquistador, are you expecting to create that road? How far back is that? It's hard for me to tell. Yeah. Is it 100 feet? What is it?
Looks like it's about 250 feet. These lots are about 100 feet long, so 100, okay. 200.
So it's like a third or so, almost halfway down the road, I suppose. I'm just concerned about... congestion there as well. So I was just curious
sure.
about that.
Sure.
My last question has to do with the rental properties. Do you have any information on whether those are intended to be long-term rentals or short-term rentals? Or
the only information that I have is based on a comment that I heard from our client in that their typical business plan is they rent the properties for up to 15, 20 years, and then they do sell them. So mm-hmm. that is their business plan.
But so you don't know if they're going to rent for like a week at a time or a month at a time, or that's what I mean.
Oh, I don't have any information on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And if we can go to the gentleman in the blue striped shirt, please.
Yeah, I'm Phil Benz. I live on Southern Pines right at the end. In fact, I look right at the whole thing. The question is on the steady gradient right now is about 14 or 15 lot right in there would be your average gradient. Do you intend to take all that dirt off of the hill and push it out on that and raise the whole gradient of the entire lot or of the entire parcel? Or do you intend to keep what gradient you have now at, say, 14, 15, 16, which seems to be the level right now?
In that area, we're going to stay as close to existing ground as we can. The biggest changes you're going to see are at the southern end, where we're going to bring down the hill and fill up that hole and try to level it
out. So the intent then is to take the dirt or all of the debris from the 27, 26 the mountain and put it up on the north end?
No, sir. Move it to the west to fill the hole in that southwest corner, lots 20 to 23.
Great, thank you. And we're going to go to the woman in gray, and then I'm going to take a couple more online.
Hello, I'm Julia Nelson. I live right across the wash. If you look at number 13, my house is right on the other side.
Okay.
And just a comment, having lived here 11 years, I can float a kayak down that when it's after a thunderstorm. That's a lot of water. So if you put these homes on, there's going to be more water, and I don't have to go to the raft, but still, I do think that should be a primary concern for the city of Oro Valley is doing something with the Mutter Wash so that they do not flood out the neighbors, because that water flows right now. I can see it from over my wall. And the other thing is when you were talking about the site view, so if I live across from number 15 and you had a picture of it, you said I didn't have much of a view, but I actually do. And so then I will not have any view. Any of us in those townhouses down there, when you build two-story homes, we will have zero view of the mountain. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't think it would be zero view.
Maybe very top? If I took, if I stood, I'm tall, but that's my big concern is having two-story homes. If it is a scenic corridor, I understand. I look primarily at the wash wall, and it is eroding. And in that wash wall where that crevice is, a bobcat lives in there. Mm-hmm. And then some coyotes live on the top. But bottom line, by having a two-story home there, I will lose all view of the Catalinas. Is that correct?
I'll answer it this way. Obviously, putting anything there will affect your view. A two-story home is limited to 25 feet in height. A one-story home is limited to 18 feet in height. So we're talking about a 7-foot differential there. Obviously, you'll be able to see between homes. That's not going to be your best view. But even if we put a single-story home there that's up to 18 feet high, yes, there's going to be an impact.
But will I be looking at my neighbor's house? I mean, the gentleman in the skivvies and his bathroom and stuff.
There'll be a screen wall on the back of the lot. Hopefully you won't have to look at his skivvies.
I don't want to look at Nolan's skivvies.
Yeah. Right. But you say you're across from lot 15. Is
yes.
that?
And you had a picture of it.
This one right here?
No, down.
This one?
Yep.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I had.
Those all of us
had
there.
A section through there, and I think I had a photo from this.
Right.
From that wash, connecting wash. Yeah. I'm sorry. What was the question on?
No. Again, with the height of the. Your plan with those height that you, even though you had the line of sight, I can't see that putting a two-story house will help me still see the very top of the mountains.
Again, whether it's one or two-story, that there will be an impact, differential being 7 feet. I think the biggest issue is that you're quite a bit lower from the site. You know that. You're looking at that steep slope today.
All right, sorry. If we could wrap up the comment, please, but we hear you.
Okay. I mean, that for the town council meeting.
Sure.
Is two-story homes may not be the best option.
Okay, we're going to go back to this lady in the back, and then we're going to go to online.
Really quick question. How many feet are between the units?
Sure.
Between the units? This layout, there's 10 feet between the homes, which is typical of single-family detached homes. I will say this, when the developer started considering this site, became aware that the town planning division was proposing changes to the R6 zone, and one of the goals, I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is to make, when R6 is developed as single-family detached homes, to make it consistent with other zoning districts for that purpose. So this layout did anticipate that those changes would be forthcoming, and so, yeah, we're showing 10 feet between the buildings.
Do you think if they would consider still developing the lot if they were restricted to single story?
It would make the financials very challenging and in all likelihood probably not.
Thank you. And if we can have Jack unmuted, please.
Okay, she's going to go left. Yeah, absolutely.
Hold on, please. We're going to have Jack unmuted. All right, Jack, you're unmuted on our end, but we can't hear you. All right. We're going to give Jack a moment, and actually we're going to go to this gentleman here. He's had his hand raised. Oops, sorry. One moment, please.
Hi, I'm John Kumbo. I couldn't quite tell from the site plan, the site views and the pictures and the setback. If I'm looking at, say, lots 10 through 13, 14, where are the buildings relative to the boundary of the Valle del Oro townhomes? Are they 20 feet, 30 feet? I mean, from the property line, I should say, of that. I can't tell if they're at 50 feet, and when you took your site plan, you were in the wash, or whether you were at the level of the homes that are along there.
Right. The area that you're talking about, 10 through 13, 15, those lots are more than 50 feet, not the lots, the homes. The highest portion of the home is more than 50 feet. You've got a little covered porch element on the back, but that's, 8 to 10 feet high. But the homes themselves would be more than 50 feet from the property line from the R4 zoning.
And when you did your site view, were you at the level of the townhomes, or were you in the wash when you did the site view?
I... I took my photos from the ground just behind the walls on your lots.
In the wash.
No, I was not down in the bottom of the wash. I tried to be up next to your.
And then we have a question in the back.
Screen wall.
I'm trying. Sue Puglisi. I live in Oro Valley Country Club Estates, so I come in that way every day, and I leave from that road as well. I'm trying to get my head around how school buses and shuttle vans picking people up and all of these kids and everybody who lives in our neighborhood, which is significantly farther than the townhomes, won't be impacted by what's being proposed. The light is already pretty short, as everybody knows. And I'm trying to figure out as well if in your traffic report, if you will include options for a left arrow road, a road to go, or something to allow you to go straight into El Conquistador Resort, as well as a right turn lane. that intersection is dangerous as it is, and people are very antsy to try and get through the short light. I can't see how people are going to be leaving that property and coming out. So maybe you could explain that.
Thank you. Sure. So, Mr. Hutt?
Yeah. Well, as Mr. Laws explained previously, the traffic report that we will prepare, it will look at things like the volume of traffic coming from the whole area. It'll look at patterns of where that traffic is going, how many daily trips, how many cars do we see in the peak hours in the morning and evening. It's going to look at all that. And as he explained, based on those numbers and that analysis, it's going to look at does that warrant widening the road or putting in a turn lane and these kinds of things. It will look at those things. And if these 41 homes combined with the however hundreds of homes that use El Conquistador to get out to Oracle, it'll look at that. Obviously, yes, the traffic will increase. It's not going to be 80 cars in the morning rush hour, as David mentioned, but there will be an increase, and that'll be evaluated, and we'll look to see what improvements might be warranted.
All right, so we have almost 7:30. We have time just to check to see if Jack, if we can get him unmuted for our last question or comment tonight. Jack? You'll just want to make sure you're unmuted on your end. All right, I'm not hearing him. So it's 7:30, and I want to respect everyone's time. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight and providing your questions and feedback. I think it gives both staff as well as the applicant a lot to think about as he formulates a submittal. Again, make sure you check ovprojects.com because when a submittal is made, that's where we will post it. And we will have a second neighborhood meeting for this project to get some more of those answers out to you folks. And with that, I just want to thank you all and have a good night. No, you don't need to.
Thank you, everyone.
Stop.